Join with me. It's my honor to introduce our beloved, our excited, our empowered woman of God, one who has led, who has shown us, who has just been an example for us to continually give praise. She's been through sickness, she's been through illness, she's been through suffering and pain, but nothing has restricted her. Hallelujah.
Thank
so
you,
I thank
Jesus.
God for the woman of God that we have and has been an example. Let us all be the same, ones that will walk through life with an unreal. Hallelujah, praise that the God above deserves. Once again, my honor to introduce our beloved, excited Apostle Etta Banks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 To God be the glory. To God be the glory for all that he has done. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I thank God. I thank God. I thank him for each and every one of you. I thank God for the joy, for the excitement, for the presence of God that's already been experienced here on this line today. I thank God that you know, that we're not in some little corner somewhere and overlooked. God hasn't left us. He's still with us. Praise be unto God. The thing that was so beautiful today, you welcomed him in. Hallelujah. You welcomed him. As a woman of God said, you were intentional about your praise this morning. You were intentional about your praise. Praise be unto God. And as I share some of the things that I'll be sharing with you today, I want those of you, because as the woman of God spoke, you know, she spoke and prayed that the prophetic word would be released on this line today. There are those of you that have the gift of prophecy and you operate in it. Praise be unto God. I challenge you to hear from the Holy Spirit today. I challenge you that if there is something there that Father is giving you, that you let me know so that we can allow you to share that word. Share that word. And this is going to even fit in with what it is I'm going to speak about. You know, I'm on discipleship right now. I'm on discipleship. And so what I'm going to speak about today, and praise be unto God, there are others that have heard some of this already from the Wednesday night class. And so as we speak, you know, if they will chime in when we see fit. Remember, this is Freedom Sunday. This is Freedom Sunday. And there is power. There is power on this line. Some of you I've seen as you worship that God was doing something already. God was doing something already. And with that, we're looking at life in the church. For us, you know, each one of us are an important part as far as the church being built. The church being built. We know that we individually are the church. Collectively, we are the church. Collectively, we are the bride of Christ. Collectively. And that is who we are. The thing is, now, just like in any marriage, my question here would be, have you committed yourself to being the bride? Have you committed yourself to your local church, to your online church? So have you committed yourself to be a part of what it is that God has assigned for you to do? Each one of us individually have to take up our cross and follow him. Each one of us. God called us, Jesus called us to follow him. He told the disciples, follow me, follow me. And each one of us individually have been called to follow him. Yet he did not call us. He did not call us to follow him as an individual alone. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. Each one of us have been called to follow him, but he didn't call for us to follow him as an individual alone. We are not to be lone rangers. We are to be in a unit, a body working together. We are to fulfill the one another commandments. And in order to fulfill the one another commandments, there's got to be somebody else involved with you and in your life for you to do the one another too. You don't want another yourself. but you do it with someone else. So he has pulled us together to work together, to pray together, to fulfill the mission that he left here for us to do. And he called us to do it together. As disciple makers, praise be unto God, we would join together with other believers and help them to overcome the sin that holds them back. Hear me, y'all. I don't know if you get this, that God, you know, I'm interchanging between God and Jesus, okay? But Jesus, understand that he knew something about us. His father knew something about us long before we were put in our mother's womb. He knew that when Jesus was leaving this earth, at 33 years old, when he left here, praise be unto God, and came back after 3 days and then ascended into heaven, he left a command to us. He left a great commission to us. And he knew that he could depend on us to fulfill that commission. Think of how much, okay, let me say this. When I am not feeling well, or when I go out of town, I leave New Vision in the hands of somebody to be the head and to carry on. The leaders of the church, you're carrying on. I have confidence. I trust you to go forth and fulfill the mission that I would be doing, to help to fulfill the vision that I would be doing. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. He left and he said, now go forth. He said, baptize, teach, make disciples. That's what he was doing. And he left that mission that he had started. He left that mission in our hands. I don't know if you ever thought about how powerful that is, to know that he cared that much, that he trusted us that much. Jesus, the word of God, when I think about it, and I get goosebumps even now thinking about it, that the word of God, Jesus is the word, and the word of God, the power, the anointing, the authority in that word. And he took little old me, little old you, from whatever city you're in, whatever state you were in, in your sin sick state of mind, he still gave us his word, him being the word, to carry out. He trusted us with that. He knew who we were going to become before we became it. He knew it. He knew which one of us would surrender our lives unto him before we did it. He knew that. Understand again that the church is not a building. The church is not a program. That is not the church. We, praise be unto God, is what represents the church. We are the church. There are programs that will draw people to the church, to the building, to the organization, and so forth. There are programs that will do that, but understand that even in the programs doing it, if a person only comes to your facility because of a program that you started, understand that when you don't do the program, they leave. They leave because they only came for the program. The only thing, I mean, it's fine to use it to attract them, but we have got to give them the only thing that is everlasting and sustaining, and that is Jesus. That is the blood of Jesus. God cares about the way that we love each other. He cares about the way that we pursue his mission. He cares. We are a group of redeemed people. You know, I don't want any of you to think that you haven't been redeemed. You were purchased with a price. You are redeemed. And because of that, you are transformed. You are transformed by the blood of Jesus. You are transformed. Understand that the pastor's job is not to do all of the ministry in the church, but to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The fivefold ministry, that's what they're supposed to do, is equip the church. They equip the saints so that they can go about doing the ministry. of the Lord. We've heard Elder West say this. We've heard others say it, that, you know, if you're running from church to church looking for the perfect church, praise be unto God, and looking for the perfect people, when the minute you step in it, if you think you found the perfect church and the perfect people, the minute you stepped in it, it became imperfect because you are imperfect. Each one of us are imperfect, and therefore we should not think that a church is the perfect church. It may be all right for you. It may be perfect for you, but it is not the perfect church. In that perfect church for you, you will find errors. You will find trials and tribulations. You will find things that you will get disappointed with. But when God has called you and set you in a place, he knows exactly what it is that he is doing. And remember, y'all, Freedom Sunday, like I said, this is where we will hold discussions. There are going to be some questions that I'm going to ask you along the way. But right now, I just want to get a few points over to each and every one of us. I just need to get a few points. God called us, praise be unto God, to grow the body of Christ up, to grow them up in every way into the likeness of Christ, That's what each one of us have to do. When people look at us, when people hear us, they need to see and hear Jesus. They need to understand that they're having an encounter with the Lord when they're looking at us. When we look at bearing one another's burdens as we are ministering, we shouldn't become overwhelmed with the idea of the ministry that we have been called to do. We should not be overwhelmed with it. Understand that the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit will speak through us. And there's so many things that we have been through that we are able to testify about and share with others as we bearing one another's burdens. God has called us to love one another. There are 49 one another commandments. And I challenge all of you to do your Google search. Pull up the 49 commandments on one another. What God is looking for us to do for one another. And hear me, beloved, you can't do this for one another if you're not, when I say gathered together, if you're not committed to a local assembly, this one another, the one another commands will not be completed. They will not be formed. They will not come to the way that God wanted them to come. There was a reason that he called us to operate together. There is a reason. Most of us don't like getting involved in other people's problems. They don't like to know the deep lying, underlying reason for why you have the issues that you have. We want to do the surface job. We want to do the surface. Let me tell you, when we when those of us that are in the Bible study class, and when we went through this and looked at the fact of getting beneath the surface, and I said, my God, my God, my God, how we as a body, New Vision, the body of Christ across the United States, wherever it is, how we have missed the mark, Now you say, well, Apostle, what do you mean by that? How did we miss the mark? There are times that we are dealing with people and we are trying to help them overcome whatever it is that has hindered them. We have tried to help them to overcome drugs. We've tried to help them overcome pornography. We've tried to help them overcome being a thief or whatever the case may be. And what we end up doing is we think if we remove the external, the surface stuff, if we remove the stuff that triggers them, if we remove that, then they won't do it anymore. They won't do it. If we take all of the, put passwords on everything that a person is dealing with porn, if we will put passwords on everything and they can't break through that, then we feel that we have stopped the issue. We have helped them overcome this situation. If somebody is drinking and they live with us and we throw all of the liquor in the house out and we don't give them money so they can buy liquor and so forth, you feel like we've done something here. And what we did was the external thing. Beloved, hear me. Hear me. As disciples, God said we had to go deeper. We had to get beyond that external stuff that we've done and understand that the only thing that will cause divine change is their hearts being changed. You can put all of the password codes and all of that on all of your electronics and so forth, but if that person's heart has not been changed, that person will still have the mind of someone addicted to pornography. They will still have the mind of someone that is addicted to alcohol or any other form of drugs because the heart has not been changed. The heart, and we can't change their hearts. We cannot change their hearts. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we have dealt with the external so much. Dealt with it. When I read that and I thought about the different cases that we have helped people with, you know, the word says, you know, if you feed them, you have fed me. You know, if you clothe them, you have clothed me. You know, if you house them, basically we have sheltered and housed him. And he said that the what we did to the least of them, it has been done unto him. We've done those surface things. But then you have to get deeper than that. You got to get to the heart of the matter. You got to get to the root. If I go outside now and cut branches off of a tree, if I cut the branches off of a tree, the branch will come back. It will grow. Leaves will grow back on it. Fruit will grow, whatever it was supposed to be there. Everything will continue to grow. Why? Because I did not destroy the root. Didn't get to the heart of the matter, didn't get to the root of it. Every evil thought that we have, sexual immorality, murder, adultery, wickedness, deceitfulness, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness, all of this comes from within us. It comes from within. It comes out of the heart of man. It comes out of the heart of man. Let me read to you Mark 7, 18 to 23. It says, whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. All these things. But there is hope. There is hope, saints of God, there is hope. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart, praise be unto God, and a new spirit I will put in you. And I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, to be careful to obey my rules. Understand that there is nothing impossible for God to do. There's not a challenge we have that's impossible for God to take care of. He said he would give us that new heart. It will cause for a transformation. There's power within that transforms the heart and change the lives. And this comes through the Holy Spirit. Bearing one another's burden is not easy. But guess what, saints of God? It's also not optional. It is not optional. Every single member of this church, every single member of the church or the body of Christ, we have a job to do. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. And the mission of our church is too important. Praise be unto God. It is too important to leave to everyone else. if the entire mission of this church, let's just use something that's really simple. If the entire mission of this church is to be, the whole church is to be the greatest worshipers that there is in the United States, this church will be known by its worshipers. That is the mission of this church. We will fast before the Lord. We will lay before the Lord. We will pray. We will read his word. We will do whatever it takes for us to be great worshipers. However, when we come together, nobody says anything. Nobody worships because everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it. Can you imagine what that would be like? What if in our worship this morning, the intentional worship this morning, if everybody just waited for somebody else to do it? What kind of worship would have gone before the Lord? How could we have refreshed him this morning if we're all waiting for someone else to do it? No. We have to be intentional about this mission. We have to be intentional about the call on our life. We can't be spectators when it comes to the vision and the mission of the church. We cannot be. God told us to fail not to assemble ourselves together. And we are to assemble ourselves, praise be unto God, with one another here so that we can strengthen one another, fortify one another, teach one another, help one another, love one another, and do all of those one another things that we're supposed to be doing with one another. I loved when the prayer came forth, that came forth from Apostle West. Praise be unto God. It didn't have to come forth from me. She's anointed to do exactly what it was that she did. I love it when Minister Kyle plays the keyboard. It didn't have to come from me. You know, he's playing his part. That's what he's anointed to. When the singing was being done by Malkia and Shelly, the both of them, you know, jumping right in there and to sing, that's what they had been anointed to do. And for this moment, that's exactly what it was they were doing. Again, what if we all just stopped and did nothing? The goal of the church is to grow in every way into the likeness of Christ. That is what makes us disciples, as we're growing into the likeness of Christ. Christ is the rabbi, he is the teacher, he's the leader, he is all of that, and he's teaching us. And then as he teaches us, we begin to copy off of him. We begin to imitate him. We began to walk and talk like him. We began to think like him. We began to pray like him. We began to do things like him. And as we do, we are to go. We are to baptize. We are to teach others to be just like we're being, which is just like Christ. And that's your disciples making disciples. Saints of God, understand that every single member has to do their part. Every single one has to do their part. Now, at this point, what I want to do, praise be unto God, I want to ask you some questions. Each of you, you know, you take your time and ask. Those of you also that have received the word during our worship, I got some people in mind that I believe God gave you something. So let me see if you're going to volunteer on your own to share what the Father has placed in your heart. But using your own words, I want you to explain why it is essential to get the heart of the problem rather than merely addressing the circumstance or the behavior of somebody we're ministering to. Why is it important to get to the heart of the problem, the root of the problem, instead of just the circumstance, the top surface? Can somebody tell me that? Why is that important?
Good morning. Good afternoon. I would say only dealing with the surface part of it is not really getting to the root of it. So that issue will stay right where it is. But when we help a person identify the root, mm-hmm. or the cause, it makes them
realize that they have an issue or a problem or whatever, you know, it is that's going on. And it's like, also from our side, it shows them that we care and that we're taking the time to walk them through it and help them through it. And not just that, you know, we just say, okay, I'm praying and then that's it. And then never reach back out to see, to ask them how, you know, the issue resolved or, you know, whatever it was. But when we actually take the time out and we sit with them and we walk them through it and we cry with them and, you know, we love on them, you know, that actually shows the true love of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else got an answer? That was very, very good.
Yes, ma'am. I would say that dealing with only the surface kind of puts a Band-Aid on a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And a Band-Aid really doesn't help when it's actually a bleeding jugular vein. You know, it could be a serious issue that's going on. And when we only get past, when we deal with the surface and not seeing what the real cause of the issue is, we can mask and cover up what may be going on right now and the actual behavior for today. But what can happen tomorrow can be even worse because we didn't get to what was really going on with taking a person to that place. If we take the time to understand it, we can help them break through it and really get past just that surface dealing issue.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I believe I had shared this one statement on Wednesday night, and let me share this again today. When I, as I have going through the period and where the grief and grieving and yet still trying to hold everything together, of course, there are those of you that have stepped up to the plate and you have taken over, you have done so much, you know, to help out and so forth. I wanted to point out that in dealing with what I was dealing with, I could not allow myself to release and to cry and just to really have it out between me and God. I could not do that. And lo and behold, Apostle West, she saw that in me. She knew from what she and her husband are teaching and dealing with their grief ministry. She knew that I needed to have that release. And bless her heart, she left her daughter with daddy and she came over here and she allowed me to lay my head on her shoulder and I boo-hooed like a baby. I boo-hooed like a baby and I just was able to release. I was able to talk to her. She was able to minister. But more than anything, she held me. She listened, listened to what I wasn't saying. She listened. And she didn't do that for an hour. She didn't do it just for 2 hours. I see you, Elder West. The woman of God was here with me almost, I was going to say, 5 hours. She was with me. She was with me for 5 hours. And that I had not done, and it's not that people didn't call me and say, Apostle, I'm praying for you. Thank you. To God be the glory. I know you're praying. That's how I was able to hold it together as I was going through. But I needed someone to go beneath the surface and get to the root of the thing. And that's what she did with me. This is what we are called to do with one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We can't just give somebody something to eat and leave them sinking where they are. We've got to go deeper than that. We've got to go deeper than that. From the lesson, those of you that were there Wednesday night, is there any point that came out to you that impacted your life in some kind of way that you want to share right now? Is there anyone? Minister Lee is coming forth. Yes, honey, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The point that you brought out about the body of Christ, how important it is for us not to forsake the assembly. And forsaking the assembly could be in different forms, as you just pointed out, how mm-hmm. Apostle Ross came over to your house and ministered to you. But the point that I mentioned Wednesday was that Upon being initially accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it was just very important for me to have people around me who were in a place in the direction that I was headed to. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying, you know, was in a place of leaving the vodka and pineapple juice alone, because I was drinking a lot of, I had vodka and pineapple juice on a regular basis. I used to wear Band-Aids, and not that, well, I'll just say that. I used to wear Band-Aids. You can take the heavy you want, but I used to wear Band-Aids. And so my mind shift had to change. I used to wear Band-Aids because I thought my legs were my best asset. Mm-hmm. And although now my husband appreciates what I thought was my best asset, the whole body of Christ don't need to see my best asset. So I just lead it.
Amen. Amen.
And so I just believe that we need like-minded folks around us. Initially, when you get saved, it's detrimental. And because you have people around you, you have your leadership who can see further than when you are and who can be able to help you out of that low place. And also, as mature believers, as we go through things, it's also very important to have people around us who are like-minded. And so so when you feel like flipping out on somebody and you have one person on the left like, girl, that couldn't be me, I wouldn't take it. Or you have somebody on the other side like, don't let them change you.
Right.
You need people in your life who are about your Father's business at whatever stage that we are at, whether it's baby stage, adult stage, mature stage. We always need people in our circle who are about our Father's business.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Did someone else want to share something? Ah, thank you, Jesus. We knew you did. Go ahead, baby.
Amen, everybody. Two things that stick out to mind. I remember about 21 years ago, my husband and I were having hard times, like really, really hard times. Mm-hmm. And I was starting a job. My husband is already working somewhere, and we had no childcare. And my pastor then, who was Pastor Etta Banks, volunteered herself to come to my house, my apartment, and watch my twin boys. Who does that? So when you talk about, you know, us supporting one another in the kingdom, oh my gosh, it was something I could never repay. You know, you really said, first of all, you were way beyond your childbearing years.
Hallelujah.
That's no shame. And your grandchildren weren't even in that age realm.
Right.
And you came and did that for us. And yes. And I remember even back not so long ago, in 2016, for those of you who didn't know, I was pregnant. And the pregnancy lasted 8 months. And the support that came from the kingdom to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask. They volunteered themselves. You were part of that too, Apostle. Amen. They volunteered themselves. And not only that, did they volunteer themselves to come to support me, but they supported me through the duration. Mm-hmm. You know, I had around the clock support. They alternated. You know, you all came at different times. And when you think about kingdom, when you think about discipleship, when you think about, you know, am I my brother's keepers? You know, matters like that. And you say, yes, I am. And it was greatly appreciated. I can never repay it. I could never repay it. But that's the kind of support we should be to one another.
Amen. Amen. Now, before you get off the line, I want you to stay there for a moment. When we were worshiping, did God speak to you? Did he speak to you a word that you should be sharing?
I didn't know if it was a word for everybody, but he did speak to me a word. Uh-huh. And the words that I kept hearing repeatedly was dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, I actually... Bella, go stand with Dada for a minute, okay? Wait a minute. Rain. The one that jumped out was rain, and the one was dominion. The first thing that hit me from the service was the songs that Kyle played.
Mm-hmm.
It brought me to last night. Last night I had purchased my daughter a book. It was a Bible book. And so we mm-hmm. read the story of in the beginning that God created everything.
Mm-hmm.
The ruler of everything. And then when Kyle played the music that he played today, it linked right up. And then Malkia came and read the scripture that she read. I said, oh my God, it merged all together.
Yes.
I was just really reminding me that he is the ruler and he reigns over everything. He has dominion over everything. That means even when Apostle Rosalind prayed, all he had to do was speak the word and the man got out off the stretcher. All he had to do was speak a word and our situations can change. And so it's like he was showing me it was two sides. It's two sides, our rule and our reign. So when we get into a rut and when we get into a rut of not wanting to praise him and giving him what's due, when you think about him ruling, reigning and have dominion over everything, you think about the grace that he grants you when you don't praise him and give him back what he had given unto you. And
yes.
The other side of it is when you have things on the altar and when he reigns and he has dominion over everything and you're trying to figure out how you're going to master and how you're going to do and not giving him what he deserves and not even thinking about if in this moment I praise him, if in this moment I worship him,
uh-huh.
how that will shift that situation.
Come on. Yes. Stay
fixated on that situation.
Yes.
Trying to see what you can do or what you don't like about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the two words that stood out to me. And I just had to have a moment to myself and give it back to him, and even in my own home, because it, like what Apostle Rosalind said, you have to be intentional.
Yes.
And when that first song broke, I was intentional about my praise. And
yes.
Even in my own home, I had deliverance.
You don't yes. have
to be in the building to get deliverance. You don't have to be in the building for God to shift and move and change what is. So even if the situation didn't on hand, I can't even see if the situation changed. You know what I mean? Because my mind is on him.
Right.
That's where we lose sight. We take our eyes off of him. We look to the left and we look to the right. We see the problems and we lose sight of God. I said enough. That's what he said.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for sharing. Amen. There are two other people. Okay, Erica, go ahead, beloved. Oh, that was you clapping. That's
yes,
a clap.
I was just clapping. Yeah.
All right. I got to get the difference between the raising of the hand and clapping. Okay. Now there's two other people that I feel that God has said something to you. Do you want to share? I don't want to. Raymond, go ahead, Elder Raymond.
Yes, we spoke Wednesday about the purpose of the local church. When I think about the purpose of the local church, it enacts the word of God in each and every one of us and causes us to be on one accord, one faith, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And with that thought in mind, you're free. God has placed you in a place that causes you to be free to understand mm-hmm. not only your purpose, but your direction. And really what I'm talking about is God has already given us the will. And once we surrender to the will, he provides for us the way. And once we get the way, then we can accomplish the mission, the personal mission that God has implanted, not only in our mindset, but in our hearts. I challenge each and every one of you all to listen to what God has for you and step out on faith, and you will never be any more happier because you surrendered and you did what God wanted each and every one of us to do, and that's to surrender to his will for our lives.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Raymond. Thank you so very much. Thank Amen. You. You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. One other person, and then we're going to turn it over into the hands of Elder Mark to lead us in our communion. But there's one somebody else that God placed something on your heart during worship, Lee. Excuse me. Did God place something on your heart? Did you hear a word or a word? Did you hear from God?
I did, but I saw my sister hand raised.
Malkia. Oh, Malkia. I see. Okay, Malkia's hand and Denise. Okay. Okay, give go ahead, give us what you got, Lee.
So God is so awesome. He has blessed us with natural killer cells. And so for all of you who are dealing with infirmity and sickness in your body, the Lord is saying, activate your God-given natural killer cells. Natural killer cells are actually a real thing. You have them in your body. So God is saying, activate them. Send them on, release them, send them on assignment, put them into whatever words you need to declare over your body, activate your natural killer cells.
Amen. And while she was saying that, it said, and healing shall be manifested as we are activating. Healing shall be manifested, which goes right ahead and connects with the word that Apostle Wes brought forth. Malkia.
The word I heard was fragrance.
Okay.
And I took it back to what we use fragrances for, to cover us, to make us smell good. Prayer also is pleasing to God's ears, as well as it's a scent back to him.
Yes.
And so as we continue to operate and want things to be manifested, we've got to pray and give it to God, as we heard our Minister Suprina say earlier.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Denise, go ahead, beloved.
Okay. The thing that came to me while Apostle Wes was speaking, and she was talking about people saying whether or not the church, a church online, if it can be a benefit, a real church. Mm-hmm. Okay. What God has put in my heart is people who are shut-ins. I was a shut-in for years. I couldn't get to an outside church. And this ministry to me is just so important because it goes to people. It can reach people who are shut in, but it's live. It's like they are there. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, everything has a purpose. There's a time and a season for everything. And I really believe that God gave this as a tool to reach those who cannot get out and get around, but this is live. They can participate and they can talk to people, and people can hear and then reach out to them, even if, you know, not in the service, but after the service. It's a way to reach them. They know, you know, I'm not just somebody locked in at home and they're going to send the deacon over to pray for me and I haven't been fed. And too often that's how it's been for the elderly. They can't get out, and you know, the church will send someone to go and pray for them, but they're not really being fed. And I see this as a feeding. We're called to feed the people. Mm-hmm. We are called to minister to what is there. And the way this church is set up, it can do that.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 All right. So that was part of our discipleship, the church, the life in the church. We are the church. Amen. We are the church. And no longer as disciples do we just touch the surface. Thank God we've had experiences here that have been shared where we went beneath the surface and touched the root of the thing. I remember when Ian was sick, and I have to use, I don't know how many people went to visit them at Lee at the hospital with her husband, but I want to point out one person in particular right now, Shelly. Shelly worked at the hospital. Shelly went down to see them almost every single day. She went in that room. She ministered to Minister Lee, you know, who has been there for hours on top of hours and so forth and so on. So she took her lunch break and went and shared with them. You know, this is the type of thing that we need to be doing for one another. And again, not just going and just praying, but Shelly offered, do you need me to go to the store? Do you need me to get anything? Tell me what you need. Tell me what you want. I know when I was sick and how Shelly came over here and she brought me something that I needed, praise be unto God. She was in her working hours, but she took the time off to come and bring me what it was I needed. Many of you have brought me stuff that was needed, food. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Y'all fed the woman of God. Hallelujah. Y'all got to the root of my problem. I was hungry and you fed me. And as you fed me, you were blessing Jesus. Praise be unto God. Amen. But this is where we need to go. So saints of God, I want you, as you are ministering to others, when you find out that somebody is angry, take the time, pray, ask God to give you a word of knowledge. Excuse me, a word of knowledge, and then ask the person, what triggers your anger? Don't just say, well, look, you need to just stop. You need to pray. Don't blow up and so forth. Talk to them. What triggers that anger? What brought that on? And so forth, so that we can get to the heart of the matter. Thank you so very much, Freedom Sunday. Today was Freedom Sunday. We appreciate each one of you sharing. Praise be unto God. And at this time, I want to turn things over into the hands of Elder Mark. Praise be unto God, so that we can do our communion.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Apostle. Awesome word, awesome discussion. Thank you for those who joined in our Freedom Sunday for your comments. Truly a blessing when we share collectively to just build up one another. Before I go into the word and we begin our communion, just give folks a few moments to grab the elements if they have not done so already.